Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The court should have a code of conduct with clear and enforceable rules, so both justices and the American people know when conduct crosses the line.
Calls are growing for Supreme Court justices to have a code of ethics following recent disclosures about the secretive financial dealings of Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and the wife of Chief Justice John Roberts. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing Tuesday, but Roberts refused to testify. We'll get the latest. Then to the growing debate in Washington over raising the debt ceiling.
Over 200 years, America's never, ever, ever failed to pay its debt. To put in the capital and colloquial terms, America is not a deadbeat nation.
We'll speak to the economist James K. Galbraith. He says the debate over the debt ceiling is a ruse and a trap, but it could have dangerous consequences if Republicans push through sweeping spending cuts. And in Texas, authorities have caught a man accused of using an AR-15 to shoot dead five of his neighbors, including a 9-year-old boy. Instead of calling for gun reform, Texas Governor Greg Abbott dehumanized the victims by referring to the dead as illegal immigrants. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Sudan, warring parties have agreed to a new 7-day ceasefire set to start Thursday. South Sudan, which is acting as a mediator, said Sudan's ruling army and the paramilitary rapid support forces would also appoint envoys for peace talks. But air raids and shooting continued in Khartoum, and fierce battles are raging in Darfur, leading to mass displacement. The death toll from the 19-day-old conflict has reached at least 550 people, with another 5,000 injured. Meanwhile, the World Food Program's warning the crisis in Sudan could lead to a wider disaster in the region as tens of thousands of people flee Sudan.
The ripple effect for the region is significant. It's a real concern, and we just need to find peace. We need the two parties to the conflict to come together and find a way to resolve the conflict, because this has the possibility of destabilizing their whole region.
President Biden's ordered the deployment of 1,500 Army and Marine Corps soldiers to the U.S.-Mexico border for 90 days, for starters, as the U.S. prepares to lift the Trump-era Title 42 pandemic policy May 11th. For the last 3 years, the measure has been used to quickly expel over 2.7 million migrants at the southern border without due process. There's already 2,500 National Guard troops stationed at the U.S.-Mexico border, as the Biden administration has routinely cracked down on asylum seekers. Biden officials on Tuesday also reached a deal with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, allowing the U.S. to continue to deport non-Mexican migrants across the border into Mexico. Biden's latest move was widely condemned by immigrant rights advocates, who've called out his enforcement of asylum bans and anti-immigrant policies similar to Trump's. In related news, Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott has resumed sending buses of asylum seekers to New York. This according to Mayor Eric Adams. It's been months since New York City last received buses of asylum seekers after thousands of people started arriving almost daily since the fall. In Minnesota, a judge found former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao guilty of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter in the May 25, 2020 police murder of George Floyd, which set off nationwide protests against racism. Judge Peter Cahill said Tao, quote, made a conscious decision to actively participate in Floyd's death when he held back bystanders, encouraged his fellow officers as they violently pinned Floyd down as the life drained drained from his body and blocked him from receiving medical aid. All four former officers involved in Floyd's murder have been convicted on both state and federal charges. Tao could receive 41 to 57 months in prison when he's sentenced in August. Israeli forces and various armed factions in Gaza have agreed to a ceasefire after Israeli airstrikes rained down on the besieged Gaza Strip following rocket launches from Gaza in response to the death of the Palestinian hunger striker Khadr Adnan while in an Israeli prison. Israel claimed it only targeted military sites, but Gazans rocked by the air raid said civilian areas were hit.
As you can see, the situation is very bad. There are airstrikes and people are scared. We are shop owners and all shops are closed. The whole country is closed. I usually leave at midnight, but today we closed our shops around 9 or 8 as a result of the tension in the country.
The Ugandan parliament Tuesday passed a altered version of its bill targeting LGBTQ people after the president, Museveni, requested several tweaks. It remains one of the most draconian anti-LGBTQ bills in the world and includes the death penalty in certain cases and a 20-year sentence for the so-called promotion of homosexuality. Back in the United States, House Democrats have put in motion a process they hope will force an increase to the debt ceiling by allowing a majority of lawmakers to bring a bill to the floor without the approval of Republican leadership. Democrats hatched the plan in January in case of a stalemate in talks as House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans continue to demand spending cuts before agreeing to raise the debt limit, something President Biden and Democrats have refused to consider. The Democratic strategy, known as a discharge petition, would require at least five Republicans to back it. If the debt limit is not increased, the government could default on its debts as soon as June 1st. Meanwhile, The New York Times is reporting White House officials are debating a legal theory on the constitutionality of the debt ceiling itself, though it's not known whether Biden would support such a challenge. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a contentious hearing on ethics standards for Supreme Court justices following a series of revelations around conservative justices' financial entanglements. This is Rhode Island Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
The Supreme Court is playing out of bounds of the ethics rules for federal judges. Justices read the ethics rules in unique and eccentric ways, and when they're caught out of bounds, they refuse to allow any investigation of the facts.
Ranking Republican Senator Lindsey Graham accused Democrats of selective outrage and going after the court due to its conservative supermajority. No justices were at the hearing after Chief Justice John Roberts declined committee chair Dick Durbin's invitation to testify last week. We'll have more on this story after headlines. A UN human rights panel is urging the United States to immediately release long-term Guantanamo Bay prisoner Abu Zubaydah, warning the systemic detention of people at the military prison may constitute crimes against humanity. The UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention released its findings Friday after reviewing several Guantanamo cases over the past 15 years. The panel's report also condemned Afghanistan, Thailand, Poland, Morocco, and Lithuania, where Zubaydah was held at several CIA black sites before being transferred to Guantanamo for being, quote, jointly responsible for the torture and cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of Mr. Zubaydah. Unquote. Zubaydah was first taken into custody in 2002 in Pakistan and has been held at Guantanamo without charge since 2006. He was waterboarded over 80 times by the CIA. Texas authorities have arrested the suspect in last week's mass shooting in the town of Cleveland, which killed five people, including a 9-year-old boy. Francisco Oropesa is accused of going on the shooting spree against his neighbors after they asked him to stop firing his rifle because it was keeping a 1-month-old baby awake. Meanwhile, a 14-year-old student opened fire at his school in Belgrade, Serbia, killing eight children and a security guard in a rare mass shooting in the Balkan nation. Back in the United States, in voting news, North Carolina's Supreme Court has thrown out a ruling rejecting heavily gerrymandered voting maps. The newly Republican-controlled court also overturned a previous state Supreme Court ruling that struck down North Carolina's photo voter ID law as racially motivated. Friday's rulings are likely to give Republicans more seats in the U.S. House of Representatives after North Carolina's Republican-controlled state legislature redraws congressional boundaries for the 2024 elections. In Florida, a voter suppression law passed by the Republican-controlled legislature Friday creates new barriers to voter registration drives, adds new restrictions to mail-in ballots, and expands the power of the newly formed Office of Election Crimes and Security to investigate and prosecute alleged voting crimes. Florida lawmakers approved the legislation a day after a federal appeals court upheld another Republican-backed voter suppression law in Florida, overturning a lower court ruling that found the legislation intentionally discriminated against black voters. Meanwhile, an amendment to the latest voter suppression bill allows Republican Governor Ron DeSantis to run for president without resigning his post as governor. DeSantis has not yet announced he's running, though he's expected to. In Texas, the state Senate passed a bill Tuesday that would give the Secretary of State, appointed by Republican Governor Greg Abbott, the authority to throw out elections in Harris County, a county largely run by Democrats and the third most populous county in the United States. The authority would kick in if 2% of polling locations run out of ballot paper for at least an hour. The bill comes as a response to Republican candidates who claim they lost their races after a small number of polling stations ran out of ballots in 2022. Vermont has become the first state in the nation to extend medically assisted suicide protections to terminally ill people who travel from out of state to end their lives. Republican Governor Phil Scott signed the bill into law, removing the residency requirement from Vermont's decades-old assisted suicide statute. Here in New York, housing advocates took over a public meeting discussing rent hikes on 1 million rent-stabilized apartments. Activists rallied ahead of the meeting, and protesters took to the stage where members of the Rent Guidelines Board were seated to draw attention to the dire situation of many renters in New York. Tenant rights groups are calling for rent freezes or decreases, saying housing and other costs of living are already squeezing New Yorkers and that any new increase could result in homelessness or other critical situations. A number of council members spoke on behalf of their constituents. This is Chiose, who represents Bedford-Stuyvesant and North Crown Heights in Brooklyn.
Tobias' rent is over 50% of their income. Tobias' rent is so high that at this moment, they are unable to eat. They rely on food pantries to have access to food. If their rent were to go up even $1, it would affect them by being able to eat even less food.
A preliminary vote at yesterday's hearing approved a rent increase of 2 to 7% on stabilized units. And another news from New York, late-night shows went dark last night, airing reruns as the first picket line of the Writers Guild of America strike formed Tuesday in front of the offices of Peacock, NBC Universal streaming service. Democracy Now! Spoke to some of the strikers.
These corporations are making billions of dollars off of our work, and we have members who can't even afford health care because they are making less than $30,000 a year. So all we're asking for is a fair amount so that we can all eat.
Everything that we asked for, the $426 million, could be paid with David Zaslav's salary and Ari Emanuel's salary and still leave them with $63 million each.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at the growing corruption scandal on the Supreme Court. On Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing on Supreme Court ethics reform following recent revelations about conservative Justice Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Chief Justice John Roberts. Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin had invited Roberts to testify, but the Chief Justice declined the invitation. Democratic lawmakers have intensified their push to pass a Supreme Court ethics bill after ProPublica revealed Clarence Thomas had failed to report frequent luxury trips paid for by the Republican billionaire Harlan Crow. For more than two decades, Thomas frequently joined Crow aboard his private yacht, jet, and at his private estates. Thomas also failed to disclose that he had sold property to Crow, including a home where Thomas's mother now lives rent-free. Meanwhile, Politico has revealed Justice Neil Gorsuch sold 40 acres of property just days after his Senate confirmation to the head of one of the nation's largest law firms, which has since had 22 cases before the Supreme Court. And Business Insider reports the wife of Chief Justice John Roberts has been paid over $10 million as a job recruiter for placing lawyers at elite law firms, including some that have had cases before the court. There are also questions about the finances of Clarence Thomas's wife, the right-wing activist Ginni Thomas. Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin opened Tuesday's hearing by talking about Justice Thomas.
Last month, we learned about a justice who, for years, has accepted lavish trips and real estate purchases worth hundreds of thousands of dollars from a billionaire with interest before the court. That justice failed to disclose these gifts and has faced no apparent consequences under the court's ethics principles. That justice claims that lengthy cruises aboard a luxury yacht are personal hospitality and are exempt under current ethical standards from even being reported. The fact that a Texas billionaire paid more than $100,000 for a justice's mother's home also seems to be an acceptable example because the justice insists that he lost money in the transaction. How low can the court go?
Joining us in Arlington, Virginia, is Ian Millhiser, senior correspondent at Vox, author of the book The Agenda, How a Republican Supreme Court is Reshaping America. Ian, welcome back to Democracy Now! Why don't we just go through one scandal after another? And the fact that the Chief Justice, who is also being looked at for his wife's $10 million that she made headhunting for law firms, many of them that have argued before the Supreme Court, go through each of them, and the fact that Chief Justice Roberts refused to testify.
Sure. So, you know, the biggest scandal here, I mean, the one that really should crystallize the mind is what's going on with Clarence Thomas. You know, this guy has accepted tens of thousands of dollars, by now hundreds of thousands of dollars of gifts from a politically connected Republican donor for more than two decades. We have known about this for a long time. And the earliest reporting I found about Thomas accepting gifts from Harlan Crow was a 2004 report in the LA Times about him accepting a $19,000 Bible. So this is not acceptable. No employee of the federal government that I'm aware of is allowed to accept these kinds of gifts. If Thomas was in the House, if he was in the Senate, if he was in the White House, if he was anywhere else in government, this would not be allowed. If he was a lower court judge, this would not be allowed. And frankly, he should resign over this. The other scandals, I think, show that the court is being very dumb by not having an ethics code. So if you look at what happened with Neil Gorsuch, Gorsuch sold a plot of land. He sold the plot of land to someone who is a lawyer that runs a law firm that practices in front of the Supreme Court. If the court had an ethics code, there's a way to do that transaction in a way that's above board. You'd want an outside regulator or someone to look at the transaction, make sure it was at arm's length, make sure it was fair market value, make sure that the buyer didn't know who the seller was, the seller didn't know who the buyer was. There are ways that you can set up an ethics code so that justices can go about their business. But because they don't have an ethics code, you don't know whether they're doing things in an above board way. You don't know, you know, they have no way to defend themselves when they get caught doing something like this. And suddenly, you know, the Roberts and Gorsuch incidents, I think, are much less serious than what happened with Clarence Thomas. But every scandal starts to look egregious, like what you have with Justice Thomas.
And explain also with Chief Justice himself and how obviously he's personally profiting because Jane Roberts is his wife, but the significance of this $10 million, actually more than that.
Yeah, so Jane Roberts works as a legal recruiter. She works as apparently a very high-level legal recruiter who helps firms that want to hire a lawyer find, you know, good lawyers, you know, probably very specialized lawyers that they can hire. And she's made a lot of money doing this, you know, more than $10 million over the last several years. Again, this is why the court needs an ethics code. I mean, you can imagine a situation where, you know, if you had a law firm that was hiring a mergers and acquisitions partner, law firms do this work all the time where, you know, there's one thing going on in one part of the firm that could create a conflict of interest relating to another part of the firm. And so you wall that off. If the Supreme Court had an ethics code, they could put in rules in place to make sure that the justices' spouses can have their careers, but they are walled off in ways that do not impact the justices themselves. But the court doesn't have an ethics code. So again, first of all, we have no way of knowing what's going on here. Second of all, you know, there aren't any formal checks in place to make sure that Jane Roberts' work isn't influencing what John Roberts does. And third, you know, because Roberts can't point to any kind of code that he has followed, there is no way for him to defend himself when something like this arises.
And then back to Clarence Thomas and his wife, Ginny. How is it possible that he doesn't recuse himself on, for example, an insurrection ruling when she's so been deeply implicated, everything from text messages with Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, pushing states to overturn their elections?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Clarence Thomas, he just doesn't think the rules apply to him. I mean, that's been true if you look at his rulings. You know, he doesn't believe in following precedent. He is perfectly fine with sweeping aside 80 years of law if he likes the way that it was done in 1918 better. He doesn't think the rules apply to him. He doesn't think the ethics rules apply to him. And the court has said fairly consistently that It's up to each justice to decide when they want to recuse. You know, the court has said that because they say they don't want the other eight justices to remove other justices from cases, and that could change the outcomes. But again, the alternative is that you have Clarence Thomas ruling on all these cases where he or his family presents a fairly clear conflict of interest, and nothing can be done about it because the only way to discipline a justice is through impeachment. And that requires 67 votes in the Senate. That requires 16 Republican senators to vote to remove Clarence Thomas from office. And, you know, that's just not happening. Republicans have rallied behind Thomas.
I want to go to Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas defending Clarence Thomas's actions.
Well, if that's the standard, going and traveling and being paid for by others, then guess what? Just about every Supreme Court justice has done so, and done so in much greater numbers. Justice Thomas was appointed in 1991, and the time since then, he's taken 109 reported trips, 5 international trips. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was appointed in 1993, 2 years later. In the time she was on the court, she took 157 trips, including 28 international trips. Mr. Payne, yes or no, do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg was corrupt?
No.
Nor do I.
That clip ended with Ted Cruz questioning Kedrick Payne of the Campaign Legal Center, who testified at Tuesday's hearing. Talk about the significance of this. And then, I mean, what kind of ethics code you think should be put in place for the Supreme Court? Aren't federal judges now extremely angry around the country? They have much stricter rules.
Right. Yeah, well, to respond directly to Ted Cruz, the standard is not that you can't get reimbursed when you travel somewhere. You know, if a university wants to bring Justice Ginsburg or Justice Thomas, for that matter, to give a talk at that university, they're allowed to pay for the justice's flight and hotel room. That's, you know, that's just a reimbursement. So the justice isn't left to pay for a trip when they're doing a favor for another institution. That's fine. What happened with Clarence Thomas isn't that he is going to a university, giving a speech, and getting his plane ticket paid for. What happened with Clarence Thomas is that he went on a lavish vacation to Indonesia, where he was flied on the private plane of a billionaire, you know, of a very politically connected billionaire, and then he took his vacation on the billionaire's super yacht. And, you know, if Ted Cruz can't tell the difference between being reimbursed for a work trip and having a lavish vacation paid for by this billionaire, I don't even know how we can have a conversation with someone who doesn't understand the distinction between those two things.
And finally, as I mentioned, federal judges, what kind of restrictions they have to abide by. I also wanted to ask you, speaking of the appointment of judges, about the growing calls for Senator Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, to resign. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently said, quote, her refusal to either retire or show up is causing great harm to the judiciary, precisely where reproductive rights are getting stripped. That failure means now, in this precious window, Dems can only pass GOP-approved nominees. Talk about what's going on. I mean, we're not just talking about shingles here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Dianne Feinstein is probably in the final years, you know, not in the final years, possibly in the final weeks or months of her life. She is ill, and her illness seems to prevent her from doing her job. And the concern is that, first of all, because she's on the Judiciary Committee, her vote is needed to vote nominees out of the Judiciary Committee. There is a process, I believe, to discharge a nominee who does not get a Judiciary Committee vote, but it's very time-consuming. It also means that on the floor, you know, with that 51st senator there, Democrats need either Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin to vote for something if they want to pass a bill, if they want to confirm a nominee. Without Dianne Feinstein, they need both Sinema and Manchin. So they have to appease these two rather conservative members of this caucus who have idiosyncratic views. You know, Sinema tends to disagree with the Democratic caucus in different ways than Manchin, and so it's not always easy to wrangle both of them. So it's a serious problem that there's this seat that is essentially vacant right now. It's the California seat. It's the most populous state in the union, and it only has half as many senators as it should right now. You know, I mean, I think that the calls for Dianne Feinstein to resign are well-founded at this point. You know, she has had a tremendous career, but the most important thing isn't that Dianne Feinstein gets to die knowing that she died a senator. The most important thing is that the people of California have representation.
Finally, what rules should be put in place, Ian, for the Supreme Court?
So the rules would have to be really—some of the rules would have to be really complicated. I mean, some of them would be very simple. I think a simple rule, you know, you could do something like what the House of Representatives does, which says that if you accept a gift of more than $250, first of all, it would need to come from a personal friend or something like that. And second of all, some sort of body needs to review it to make sure that, you know, the gift isn't in some way corrupting. And then you're going to have, you know, where it gets complex is you have to have serious conversations about, okay, what if the justice has a spouse with their own career? How do we make sure that the justice's work is walled off from their spouse so that one doesn't influence the other? You have to ask questions like, okay, if there's something like this land transaction with Neil Gorsuch, how do you make sure that an outside body reviews it to make sure that the transaction is at arm's length, that the transaction was at fair market value, and that the justice wasn't in some way enriched by whatever the transaction was? So, you know, it's going to have multiple pieces to it. But again, the biggest crisis right now is that you have a justice accepting all of these lavish gifts from a billionaire. And whatever the rules say, that can't possibly be allowed.
Well, I want to thank you, Ian Millhiser, for joining us, senior correspondent at Vox, author of the book, The Agenda, How a Republican Supreme Court is Reshaping America. And a correction, it's not Dianne Feinstein, who's chair of the Judiciary Committee. It is Dick Durbin. Coming up, we look at the growing debate in Washington over raising the debt ceiling. Stay with us.
Words, words, words. In my
by John Wesley Harding in the Minus Five. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to look at the fight over raising the debt ceiling. On Monday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned the United States could default on its debts as early as June 1st. And